I'm going to read from John 3rd Epistle from verse 5. 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Verse 11, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So here we have a character called Diotrephes, and thankfully there are two others in 3 John who offer good example, but Diotrephes, I think, offers us a terrible warning. And he's clearly someone whom John is planning to deal with. And if John is planning to deal with him, how much more the Lord Jesus, who is head of the church? It would seem that this Diotrephes is an important official in the church to which John is writing. Is he the pastor? Possibly. It might be that he is the owner of the house in which they meet. Every now and again, when we consider the work needed on a chapel or a church, we perhaps think to ourselves the virtues of a house church, where we all turn up and go to someone's front room and we have a cup of tea and we all clear off and there's no rent to pay or anything like that. The problem, though, with house churches is that if you need a large house, you generally go to somebody who's got a bit of money, and the person who has a bit of money generally likes to have things their own way, and they generally have the right to say who can come and who can't. And when that happens, we thank God that we have a building which is owned by every member. So whether Diotrephes is the householder, or whether he is the pastor, or whether he's both, or whether by virtue of being the householder he's appointed himself the pastor, I've come across that before. We don't know. But what do we know about him? He loves to be preeminent. He loves to be number one, Mr. Big, the top dog. He likes to be in charge. He likes to be at the front. He likes to be heard. He likes to call the shots. Now, it's true that in ministry, there is inevitably somebody who will be at the front. There's somebody who will be preaching and teaching. We don't come to church and have 30 different preachers all going on at the same time. We generally choose one and listen to him. But here, he loves to be there. Not, I think, because he wants to serve the Lord or to edify his people, but because he likes being at the front. He likes everyone's attention. And linked to liking to be at the front and liking to be in charge, he, at the end of verse 9, does not receive us. I think here John, and I believe it's the Apostle John, is clearly sending out missioners or workers from whichever church at which he is based out to the towns in the countryside, wherever he lives. We don't know where he is living or where they are. It would indicate it's a Greek-speaking, perhaps a pagan culture, judging by the names rather than Jewish. But this church, which Diotrephes is in charge of, does not want contact with John or the church which he is heading. Now, we are an independent church, and I thank God we don't have some bishop or archbishop in London or York going on about this, that, and the other, and we have to pay for the privilege. And yet there is a danger in independency that we cut off, and that we've become ourselves a platform for our own pride. He will not receive people from other churches. But more importantly than that, John includes himself in those who will not be received. And notice he's planning to call at that church, whether he's invited or not. And John, of course, as an apostle, is representative of the word of God himself. When he puts pen to paper, he writes with all the authority of the one who sent him, Jesus Christ. And so by not receiving John and those whom John is sending, this character, Diotrephes, is in fact rejecting Christ. If you've got a church or a congregation or a denomination or a movement which is not faithful to God's word, which will not be subject to apostolic doctrine, you have a church which is rejecting God himself. And Diotrephes would rather be a large fish in this small pond than subject himself to the authority of the author of this letter. In verse 10, John says, "Therefore, if I come," he allows for the possibility that he won't make it. He introduces himself in verse 1, which I didn't read, as the elder. He is an old man. He doesn't know how long he has before the Lord calls him home. And if it is the Apostle John, he probably has exile on a nasty Greek island waiting for him before long. "But if I come, I will call to mind his deeds," which he does. In other words, this character is not going to get away with it. It is a wonderful gospel truth that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've obeyed his gospel, then your sin will not be counted against you, because it was accounted against your substitute when he hung upon that cross. That's the joy of the gospel. And yet there is also a sense in which we are still responsible to God for the deeds done in the body. What we say, how we use our time, what we do with our money, the service we render to our Lord. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to have it determined whether we go to heaven or hell. It's determined we go to be with Christ in heaven. His blood has paid for us. And yet, having become his bondsman, we are accountable to him. And this character, Diotrephes, is going to be held accountable for his deeds, in the first instance, to John. But more concerningly, to Jesus Christ himself. Well, what does he do? He speaks against John and those he sends with malicious words. He's a gossip. He makes up bad reports about them and spreads it round. He damages reputations. He destroys good names. And there will be people listening to that in Diotrephes' congregation who think ill of John and those whom he is sending because of the lies which their leader has been spreading. And evidently John has resolved to go there in person, if possible. Diotrephes, when he's in that pulpit, oh, he's bold and he's eloquent. And people are afraid of him. But John isn't. John's more afraid of Jesus Christ than this fool who gossips about him. He knows that Jesus Christ not only is the truth, he knows the truth. And for being a liar, he will be held accountable. This man is effectively a false prophet. Instead of looking after the sheep, he's slaughtering them. And he says, not content with that, as though that is bad enough, he himself does not receive the brethren. There's a lot of receiving going on in 3 John. I suspect on a very practical level, it involves having people in your home and providing for them. Christian workers going out with the gospel, providing for their needs, giving them hospitality, which was very important in the ancient world and ought to be important in the Church of God. It might also involve having them in the church, inviting them in. If you're meeting in a house church where there is no big public access, you know, you've got to be admitted in through the front door. It might be he's not allowing fellow believers to come and join him if they're not willing to bow down before him as the petty tin pot dictator he wants to be. He does not receive the brethren, the brothers. He's not one of them, as it were. And he forbids those who wish to. Evidently, there are people in that congregation who remain kind, honourable, who want fellowship with other believers, who understand that to be a part of a local church is still to be a part of a wider church, a great cosmic community of the redeemed from all ages past and ages still to come. We are part of a gigantic movement. We might not think we are, being in a small chapel in the Lancashire Hills, but we are. And those who are part of that congregation, perhaps afraid of their leader, they are perhaps to think that they're not part of something bigger as well. But he refuses to accept emissaries from John, faithful believers, and those who do, he puts them out of the church. Now, there are occasions in Scripture when people are put out of the church. In Paul's letter to Corinth, there is a man whose behaviour is so poor that even the pagans are appalled by it, and he is to be expelled from the church until such time as he repents and he can be restored. Well, Diotrephes here is using church discipline, not for the honour of Christ, nor for the holiness of the church, but to massage his own pride and sustain his own position. You might be thinking, why are we hearing about this man? We usually get somebody who's a real role model in the church. Well, he is a role model, a negative one. Don't be like him. So what do we learn from him? Number one, we ought not to want to be first or preeminent. He who will be first will be last. Receive other believers, both in the church and in your home. Have fellowship with each other. Receive John. No, of course we can't. He's with the Lord. He has better things to do than to turn up at our church. And he's not in the body anymore anyway. Receive God's word. Even when it makes us feel uncomfortable. Even when it challenges our behaviour. Even when we know we're out of kilter with it. Receive it. Read it. Ponder it. Obey it. Had Diotrephes been a faithful believer, John might not have had to come and call his deeds out. Spread no bad information about people. Of course, there might be grounds for harbouring negative opinions about people, but they need not always be shared. And desire to have fellowship with people, both in your own congregation and those of other congregations. He then goes on to say in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil. He's given them an example of evil behaviour. Outwardly, Diotrephes looks quite good. He's a church leader. He uses the technical terms. He can talk about theology. He probably mentions Jesus all the time. But he's not living for him. He knows theology. But I don't think he's converted. We don't have windows into men's souls, to quote Elizabeth Tudor. But Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. And this character, Diotrephes, is he converted? I imagine he's been baptized. I imagine we know he knows at least one apostle. He might have known more. He might be a good debater. He's made it in the world. He controls a church. But where's the fruit? His fruit is rotten. his fruit is rotten. And therefore, John says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. It's an interesting expression he says there in verse 11. We'd expect him to say, he who does good is of God, but he who does evil is not of God. In fact, he says here, has not seen God. Well, actually, have any of us seen God? And yet there is a sense in which in our personal walk with the Lord, through the eyes of faith, we behold him. And having beheld by faith his majesty and his purity and his righteousness, we cannot but do that which brings him pleasure, and that is good. But those who have never looked for him, sought him, desired him, longed for him, they continue to do evil, because having never met him, they've never been changed by him. Having no regard for him, they don't want to please him. Diotrephes is long gone. And yet, in a sense, he just continues to be multiplied one generation after another. He never goes away. And we must guard against him coming to our church, and we must guard against becoming him.